If you've got your Bibles tonight, I'm going to be looking at an Old Testament passage, and it's a type and a shadow of Christ, a typology. And a lot of times we read this and we read over it. And I'm going to be in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And David had just, they had just come back from battle. They had been, they come back to Ziklag. You remember the story, you remember the account there. They'd come back to Ziklag. They found their houses burned, everything destroyed, the women, the children, the boys and the girl taken into captivity. A lot of his mighty men of valor, the mighty warriors that David had with him, they was tired. They had just come in off of the battlefield. There were several of them that decided to stay back behind, but he took a select group and went on. You remember he prayed to God, you know, but should I go or should I stay? I mean, what should I do? Sought God to find out what he should do. And God told him to go, and thou shalt recover all. So David heads out, and he goes out, and he goes after the Amalekites. And by the time we get to verse number 11, David is with his select group of men that he has taken that have gone with him. And they're gone to try to regain the spoils that the enemy has stolen from them. And in verse number 11, it said, and they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drank any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, a servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me, because 3 days alone I fell sick. And we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had thus brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all of the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. I'm looking at this young man, this Egyptian. He had spent 3 days and three nights out in the desert. He had no hope. His master had left him for dead. You know, Egypt is always a type and a shadow, a picture of the enemy, of sin, of the devil. Egypt is a place of bondage. His master had, he had no more use for this man. He was sick. He was used up as far as he was concerned. He was of no value to him. He said, I'm done with him. I'm going to leave him here to die. You know, that's what the devil will do to you. He'll take you and he'll use you. Oh, it's good while it lasts. While the party's going on, while you're having fun, while you're out carousing and everything, the spotlights are wonderful. But when you are no longer useful, the enemy has no use for you. He'll leave you to die because you have no value. I see here that David, he first asked this man a question. To whom belongest thou? Now, if you haven't got this figured out yet, David is a type and a shadow of Christ. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. I believe that Jesus knows his sheep. Whenever I cry out to God, I would hate to think that he would say, now tell me, who are you? He knows me by name. I'm a child of the King. If this man would have been one of David's mighty, don't you think David would have known this man? David would have known that he belonged to him. I mean, there's only two people that you belong to. You're either a child of God or you're not. You're a child of the enemy. You know, that's the problem a lot of people have, is they don't know who they belong to. If you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you belong to him, well, I'm going to put it real plain. It's not too hard to figure out who you belong to. They always say that, you know, we used to tease my coworkers. I used to tease them at work. And I tell them, you know, with all of this new, you know, trying to do things the right way and the prompt and proper way of doing things and all the diversification and all that thing. Yeah, politically, you know what I'm talking about. It's all entered into the workplace in the last few years. I would tell them, you know, when you go to Walmart, you always see the person standing by the door, the door greeter. You know, big companies are required to hire so many people that are, let's just say, challenged. And I would tell them, you know what, where we work at here at Baker Hughes, you know, they're required to hire so many people that are challenged. And if you don't know who that person is, guess what? I'm here to tell you, if you don't know who you belong to, guess what? You may need to look in the mirror. You belong to one of two people. The first thing that I see that this young man done was he admitted that he belonged in the enemy's camp. I'm a servant of an Amalekite. My master left me. He abandoned me. I see his cry for help. He left me for dead. But David, what are you going to do? This man doesn't look like us. He doesn't dress like us. He doesn't talk like us. Listen to me, church. There's a message right here. Give him some bread and water. They may not look like us and may not act like us and may not dress like us when they first come into the church, but give them some bread and water. Jesus is the bread of life. Give them some water. He that cometh to me will drink of this water. He of living water. He'll never thirst again. David found this young man. You know, some of y'all remember back in the 1970s, I'm telling my age, late 70s, I remember there was a bumper sticker come out and you'd see it on cars that says that I found it. Y'all remember that? I had to go back and look up. I was thinking that it was the Jimmy and Tammy Faye Baker. I was thinking it was them that done it, but they didn't get the credit. It was the College Christian Coalition, CCC, that had come out with that slogan, "I found it." And it was to get people to ask, "Sister Marilyn, do you remember that bumper sticker we used to see running around everywhere? We're testing her memory now." But it used to be on the cars. "I found it." And people would ask, "What did you find?" Then they would open up and give them an opportunity to witness and to tell about Jesus Christ. But there was another bumper sticker that came out and it said, "I never lost it." And I don't know who came up with that. I always figured it was the Baptist, but who knows? But let me tell you something. You never found it. He found you. He found you whenever you wasn't looking for him. But he found you. This young man was on deathbed. He was on his last leg. There was no life in him. There was no hope. He was laying in the desert, hot, dry, dehydrated, no doubt. I could just imagine the Egyptians laying there lifeless and the Israelites picking him up and holding him and putting a few drops of water on his tongue and giving him a little bit of bread and bringing him back to life. That's where I was. I was dead in my sins and my trespasses, but Jesus found me. What I'm preaching about tonight, I'm so glad he found me. The Hensons sung that old song, "I'm so glad that he found me." He was hopeless, forsaken by the one that he had served. The devil will let you down. I was a foreigner when he found me. I'm not a Jew. I'm not a chosen Israelite. But I'm a Gentile. And he found me. I see that he found him and he fed him the essentials. Bread and water. We get people coming into the church and we want to feed them everything that we got except for bread and water. It still takes the blood of Jesus Christ, the same bread that saved you is the same bread that will save the lost and dying world. The same water that will cleanse you and sustain you is the same water that will save and cleanse a lost and dying world. But you know there's more to it than just that. Did you read that? He gave him a little extra. He gave him a cake made of figs. And he gave him some raisins. You know, I got interested in that fig cake. They would take figs in the Old Testament, and they would take and press them down in a press. They would have all the nutrients of the figs in that. It would be just like a super sweet cake that had a lot of energy and a lot of nutrition in it. And it would keep it from spoiling. They gave him that fig cake. You know what figs will do? All throughout the Bible, they're symbolic. He talks about he cursed the fig. You remember Jesus cursed the fig tree. Symbolic of the nation of Israel. But look over in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 7. I want you to see what Isaiah had done here to Hezekiah. Isaiah chapter 20 and verse number 7. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. This is a fig cake. And they took it and laid it on the bull, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? They took a fig. There was healing in figs. They gave him raisins. Raisins is symbolic of sustenance, provision, and hospitality. He may have been a foreigner, but he was welcomed into the house of God. He was welcomed into the Israelite camp. He may have just come from Ziklag, from the enemy's side, but God said, hey, you come on over here. Your master abandoned you. Your master was done with you. Your master has no use for you. You know, when the devil and the world counts you out, God has a purpose for you. Did you notice this? David just enlisted him in the army. I want you to take me and lead us to where the Amalekites are camping. Someone that the enemy left for dead had absolutely no use is now leading the army of Israel. I'm so glad he found me. He took somebody that I never will forget. My seventh grade teacher told me, see, and a parent teacher, I dreaded those things. She looked at my mom and said, I don't think he's ever going to amount to anything. She was a Sunday school teacher at the UPC church in Chelsea. She knew my dad and mom was pastors, was ministers. She wrote me off, Brother Isaac. But I'm so glad that he found me. That little preacher's kid, and he said, I can use that one. He found him. He fed him. And then, notice this, he set him free. He was in slavery, in bondage to his Amalekite master. Not only did he save me, he fed me. And Brother Virgil, he set me free. He broke the bonds of slavery. You say, was you addicted? No, I don't have the testimony some of these others have. But I do have a testimony. He kept me from it. I've never drank alcohol other than in medication. I've never taken drugs other than prescription, and usually I don't like to take them. I've never lived a real sinful life. I've done some mischievous things that I'm not proud of. I've erred, I've strayed, and I've sinned, and I've come short just like everybody else. I was still bound by sin, but he found me. I'm so glad that he found me. I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned in this little story. When people come in and they don't look or act like we do, there's an order that he gives. Bread and water. We need to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Once he became revived and come alive, then he got to eat the fat of the land. We got to be careful, church, with especially our youth. There's things that we can feed them that they'll choke on. Some of our youth is not, they're still eating bread and water. We don't need to get too deep into the milk of the word, like Brother Virgil's saying, or the philosophy of the sanctification, and get deep into all of the saved by grace. I'm glad that he found me.